This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The National Restaurant Association says 90,000 restaurants in this economy have closed because of the pandemic. The number of food service jobs is down 7% from the before times. And while the labor market as a whole is basically back, leisure and hospitality has been one of the slowest industries to recover. So about a week and a half ago, on a Thursday afternoon, I went out to a restaurant called Here's Looking at You, about 15 minutes or so from Marketplace World Headquarters. Down a narrow alleyway we went to the staff entrance.
We're going way in the back door. All right. Broken toe, you know. Be gentle with me. Do they know we're coming? They were sneaking in the kitchen door?
They did.
Tell me who you are and where we are.
I am Chef Jonathan White here in the part owner, and Here's Looking at You in Koreatown.
And who are you?
I'm Lin Ta. I'm the other owner in Here's Looking at You in Koreatown, and I do everything but the cooking.
Lin and Jonathan co-own a pair of restaurants in L.A. Here's Looking at You was their first. It opened up in 2016. It's one of those places that you see all the time in those top 10 places to eat in L.A. lists. And in the kitchen, as I got there, prep for the dinner service was already happening.
So you're the guy who does all the cooking. Tell me what's going on. It's 4:30 on a Thursday afternoon. What's happening now?
I mean, right now it's like we're like 30 minutes away from going to family meal, so we're just setting up. And like I was just doing the menu a second ago to get ready for service.
You're just doing it now?
Yeah.
People are going to walk in the door in like, what, an hour and a half?
Yeah.
Do you do that all the time? Just kind of wing it like that?
It's not winging. That's usually like the standard for most restaurants.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, you usually get the menu done by like 4:30, like because the team preps all the way up, and the final check is just checking off the menu before we go to break to make sure everything's on the menu.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Lynn, how's business?
Business is steady. We just reopened 6 or 7 months ago after being dormant for two years.
Yeah,
so it's steady. People at least come.
How's the reservation book looking for tonight?
I need to double check, but it looks slower than normal.
And that's why we're here. Lin and Jonathan wound up having to shut things down in July 2020. And staring down $90,000 due in back rent, they weren't able to open up again until January of this year.
Was that a gutsy move?
Because
look, you guys had some debt, right? You were closed. You were not paying rent on the place that you had. It was piling up. Talk to me about your risk tolerance, right? As the woman running the front of the house, I guess.
Oh, yeah, it was a hugely gutsy move. I mean, we actually opted to involve our community to help us raise funds.
Yeah, GoFundMe, right?
Yeah, we did a huge GoFundMe. And, you know, one, when you involve the public that way, in a way, you sort of, or I thought,
right.
I feel like we needed to carry a responsibility to actually be a great success story and actually open and not just, like, cover the dead and run.
Right, right. Let me ask you a real quick question. This is not, well, it's neither of your first restaurant in L.A., but I want to get Jonathan first. Restaurant now versus restaurant in the before times. Discuss. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of things have changed the dynamic. It's like a lot of cooks have disappeared.
Yeah.
You know, ingredients have, like, gone awry. You know, there's a short supply, and, like, random things like chicken are hard to get all of a sudden, like...
You're having, like, chicken supply chain problems?
Well, at the other restaurant, you know, we do a lot of chicken wings and things like that. So, like, even, like, you know, as to where they were able to raise chickens to a certain size and pick sizing for us, that's
right.
No longer, like, an option. It's like, I order chicken wings, they're either going to come, like, microscopically small or they're going to come, like, huge, giant turkey wings. Like, we just don't know.
How much does that affect your day-to-day? I mean, hugely, right?
Yeah, because you're expecting one thing to come in, and then when it comes into you, it's like a huge curveball. You're just like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Which is why you're doing a menu at 4:30 in the afternoon for
a
6 o'clock open, right?
Yeah, you check everything off. Like, that's why it's like our final checklist before we set that open.
Out the door of the kitchen, over on the other side of the not-all-that-big dining room, there's a bar where barkeep Kent Thompson was doing his drinks prep.
How long have you been doing this?
Oh, man, like 10 years plus.
Is that right?
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
How's the bartending business? If you wanted to go out and get another job,
yeah,
could you?
Absolutely.
Easy.
Yeah. I could go tomorrow and probably find a job at a place. There is definitely heavy demand. A lot of people, I feel, have gotten out of the industry or maybe, you know, with the pandemic and shutdowns happening, seeing like a difference in quality of life. And our industry is very demanding and it takes a lot out of you, weird hours, but...
So why do you do it?
I love it. I mean, I went to school for hospitality management.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I originally wanted to go into the cooking side of things, but I saw how difficult it was for them, and I wanted to be creative, but then I saw that there's like a good social aspect here, and yeah, of course the tips and whatnot. So all that.
Does Chef ever let you touch stuff in the kitchen or no?
Oh yeah, right.
Kent has his prep. Chef Jonathan has kitchen prep. Co-owner Lynn was finishing her gotta run the business prep in the dining room.
I was sitting here. I was organizing these keys.
Oh my God, why are you organizing keys?
Someone tried to break into the restaurant Wednesday, so we had to... They didn't succeed, but almost did. So something must have stopped them. So we invested $2,800 in a new lock, doorknob, and deadbolt. Because according to that locksmith, the guy knew what he was doing.
Well, so look, that's actually an unfortunate jumping off point for margins in restaurants are notoriously narrow. Here you are trying to come back from a pandemic. I don't want to jinx it, but are you going to make it?
I think so. I mean, we're very lucky to be very beloved and supported. And really what every restaurant is seeking is consistent business. And we have that right now. Are we going to get rich? Never.
Wow. That's so interesting to hear you just say that, because that's, wow.
It's not this restaurant.
That's not why you do this?
No. Some restaurateurs probably get rich, but I don't think it relies on, you know, this kind of like boutique casual fine dining
experience. Not huge, right? I mean, it's, you know, it's nice size, but
yeah.
What are there, like 30 tables, maybe 15 tables, right?
Yeah, 11 tables.
11.
50
right.
Total seats.
How many times do you have to turn them over a night? Two or three times?
It would be nice to turn them three times, but right now our hours are 6 to 10, which is about two turns. Back in the day, we could extend our hours a little bit, but right now people are not necessarily dining out super late anymore.
Yeah. So you're trying to get this business back off the ground.
Yeah.
Right? So far, so good?
So far, so good.
Okay, here's the kicker. What keeps you up at night?
Oh, gosh. It's so funny that you ask. I didn't sleep at all the night before last.
How come? I mean, that's not good, right?
My other restaurant gives me stress. They both give me stress for different reasons. One, you know, we talked about the keys.
Yeah.
We have jobs to fill, coverage to manage. But yeah, my other restaurant has more turnover issues because it's not doesn't have that consistent business we were talking about.
Is it worth it? Oh,
of
that's a long
it is.
Pause. Oh, okay. All right.
I mean,
I'm
in a tough place, Kai. I mean, I'm straddling a cocktail of burnout, exhaustion. You know, we're sort of used to emergencies running restaurants, but this is pretty unprecedented times. And it really is just like we feel this like hex on our industry. It's still very rewarding and gratifying, especially when you see people, you know, eating and drinking our creations. And we're here, you know, I'm not giving up. So we have to sort of suffer through this and understand that it's temporary. It's just going to go on for a little bit.
Lynn, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Kai.
Let me go talk to Chef real quick. Just say bye.
He's over there.
Where'd he go? Oh.
He's in his office.
Here we go. Thanks, Chef. Appreciate it.